Hey, hey, welcome to the Bodies Built Better podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Tan, and I'm so grateful that you're here today. Welcome to the 12 Days of Quotemas. This is where we share quotes that have made us think, laugh, make a change in the way we do things, the way we see things, the way we say things. Quotes that have challenged our beliefs and even sometimes the way we see the world. I'll be sharing quotes that have impacted my life, and I'll be sharing quotes that have impacted the lives of our listeners. I wanted to get your help and understand what resonates with you and what has changed the way you think and move through your life. So, if you have a quote that you love, hit me up on Instagram, DM me, slide into my DMs. That sounds so weird. Jackie Tan 2.0, that's my handle. Head over there, DM me, and I'd love to know what quote has changed your life. For the next 12 days, we'll dig into your favorite quotes, the origin of the quote, what they mean, and how you can make practical changes in your life inspired by the quote. So, on this second day of Quotemas, Tulsi Varsani shared with me her favorite quote, and here she is.
So I saw this quote, I think it was by Eleanor Roosevelt, and I really liked the way she described that people won't remember what you did, but people will always remember the way you made them feel. So it's one of my favorite quotes that I really like to go somewhere or be present and acknowledge the person in front of me and their story, their experience. So that's one of the reasons why I like that quote.
Thank you so much, Tulsi, for sending this one through. I love this quote too. And I mean, how often have you experienced that, you know, on the receiving end, whether it's actually positive or negative, where you've remembered someone based on how they did make you feel? And it really does impact your relationship, your beliefs, and it can really strengthen a bond or crush it. And that can be really hard to come back from, you know, if you've been crushed, you know, from certain situations. So it's such a beautiful and important quote to remember. So let's look at the origins. Now, this was really interesting when I was researching this, because looking into it, it was actually attributed to the great Dr. Maya Angelou. But whilst Maya Angelou was linked to this saying in 2003, there's a version in a 1971 volume called Richard Evans' Quote Book, ascribed to Carl W. Buhner. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He was a high level official in the Mormon Church. They may forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. So, I mean, it's super fitting, because every time I watch one of Dr. Maya Angelou's interviews, or when she recites her poems, or when she gave a speech, everything about her completely captures me, and I'm so transfixed. And the feelings that she evokes in me are that of awe, of sadness, of hope. And that legacy and gift that she has left is so powerful and so important and influential and inspiring. So I'm going to talk about Dr. Maya Angelou today for this very reason, because she really, like, that quote completely encapsulates everything about Dr. Maya Angelou. She's just extraordinary. So we'll delve into why and how the feelings we evoke in others become the most lasting part of their memory of us. It's not just about the actions we take or the words we speak. It's about the emotional footprint we leave behind. So let's start by talking about Dr. Maya Angelou. And I really want to give you a little bit of background on her, because she is so extraordinary. And whilst I'm such an avid follower of hers, and I turned to her for a lot of inspiration. When I dove deeper into her story, it was actually really, I found it so horrific and tragic. But, you know, it's one marked with resilience, and just, she's just so inspiring. So I wanted to tell you a bit about her before we dive into the quote. Because she was more than just an author. She was born in 1928. Her life story is one of true grit and determination. Her earlier years are marked by a harrowing journey. When Maya Angelou was just a little girl, she and her brother were both put on a train to Arkansas by themselves. They had tags on their arms like they were luggage, and this showed they were being sent away from their home. It was a tough start, to say the least. And something, you know, now if you hear that, like, you couldn't even fathom that happening. But it did, and it happened to her, and that's what began, you know, her strong and incredibly inspiring story. But unfortunately, the horrific experiences don't stop there. At just 7 years old, she faced another trauma that would, you know, shape her journey, and she was raped by her mother's boyfriend. And in a turn of events that speaks to the complexities of justice and retribution and the human psyche, the man was jailed for only a day and was found dead shortly after his release. Consumed by guilt and believing that it was her voice that caused his death, Angelou chose silence. She didn't speak, and she didn't speak for 5 years. She lived in a world where she believed her words had the power to harm. Someone so young, I don't even know. We just can't fathom that. So in these silent years, a remarkable woman, Mrs. Flowers, entered Angelou's life. She offered lemonade and tea cookies, but she also offered the gift of literature, reading poems to a young Maya. It was Mrs. Flowers who challenged Angelou to find her voice again, emphasizing the power of speaking and feeling poetry. In the privacy of an under-house space, amidst the chickens, Angelou began to recite poetry. So when Angelou chose to speak again, she did so with a newfound purpose and passion. Her voice, once silenced, became a powerful tool for storytelling, activism, and inspiration. She was not just an author, she was a multifaceted artist, a singer, dancer, actress, and even a director, making her movie directorial debut at the age of 70. As an activist, Angelou's presence was formidable. She walked alongside giants of the civil rights movement like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. Her contributions extended beyond the written word, embodying the struggle and triumph of her generation. Maya Angelou's journey from a silenced child to a global icon of resilience and eloquence is a testament to the power of the human spirit. Her life, with its trials, tribulations, and triumphs, continues to inspire and challenge us to find our voice, to speak our truths, and to understand the profound impact we have on one another through our words, and more importantly, through the way we make others feel. So let's take a closer look at her quote. People will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. At its core, this quote is about the lasting impact of emotional experiences. When we interact with others, we exchange more than just words or actions. We share emotions, and these emotions create lasting change. To understand this further, let's turn to psychology. Our brains are wired to attach emotions to memories. It's a survival mechanism that dates back to our earliest ancestors. Emotions like joy, fear, love, and anger leave a strong imprint on our memory. That's why we often remember not just what happened, but how it made us feel. This emotional memory is powerful. It shapes our perception of people and events long, long after the details have faded. So, more on psychology. I am not a neuroscientist, by the way, but this is what I found. And if you are a neuroscientist or I've made a mistake here, please get in touch. But this is what my research has found. So, firstly, have you ever heard of mirror neurons? Because I hadn't before my research, and it's really, really interesting. So, mirror neurons is the technical term for a type of neuron that has been identified by neuroscientists. These neurons are a fascinating and significant discovery in the field of neuroscience and psychology. And let me explain why. So, what are they? Mirror neurons are brain cells that are activated both when an individual performs a certain action and when they observe someone else performing the same action. How do they work? The basic idea is that these neurons mirror the behavior of another as though the observer were themselves acting. This mirroring process happens automatically and unconsciously. So, in layman's terms, when you see someone smile, your mirror neurons are activated and you smile. Another example, you know, have you ever seen someone kind of flinch and then you flinch as well, expecting something or maybe even scary to happen? That's the mirror neurons taking place. Now, why is it important? Well, because it's believed to be crucial for understanding the actions of others and for learning new skills by imitation. It's also important for understanding the intentions and emotions behind others' actions, contributing to empathy and social understanding. Then there is something similar called emotional contagion. It's like catching a cold, but with feelings. Ever been in a room where one person is in a bad mood and seems to bring everyone else down? Or the opposite, where someone's laughter is so infectious it lights up the whole room? That's emotional contagion. Our emotions have the power to spread to those around us, setting the tones for our interaction. One example that really rings true is that it's quite similar to what I just said, but, you know, being in a meeting and your boss comes in and they're in a really shitty or really stressed mood, right? They're really stressed about something that hasn't gone their way, or, you know, not seeing results that you should be. They're so stressed. And what does that do to the entire room? Well, you know, you walk away just as stressed. You've caught that, right? So that's emotional contagion. And then there's cognitive empathy and affective empathy. So cognitive empathy, sometimes called perspective taking, is the ability to understand another person's mental state and emotions intellectually. It's about recognizing what another person is feeling and thinking without necessarily feeling those emotions yourself. This form of empathy is crucial in situations where you need to understand someone else's point of view or their reasons for certain behaviors. It helps in conflict resolution, negotiation, and in professions like therapy or customer service, where understanding different perspectives is key. It's like being an emotional detective, piecing together clues from what someone says, their body language, and their situation to understand their emotional state. And I wish that I was better at that. I think I'm more effective at empathy, which I'll dive deep into now and then tell you why I wish I was better at that. So effective empathy is the ability to feel what another person is feeling. It goes beyond just understanding their emotions. It's about sharing their emotional experience. This form of empathy can create a strong emotional bond because it involves a shared emotional experience. It's what you feel when a friend is sad and you feel sadness too, or when someone is joyful and their happiness becomes contagious. However, too much effective empathy can be overwhelming as it can lead to emotional burnout, especially in situations where one is constantly exposed to the emotions of others, like in caregiving roles. And whilst my role was never a caregiver, being a remedial massage therapist for nearly 17 years and hearing people's stories, that's a lot to take. And to be perfectly honest, I never realized the, I want to say emotional burden, but I feel like that's potentially a really harsh way to put it. And that's not quite how I feel about it. But that, I think, took its toll on me than I've really ever realized. And I did experience burnout and I did experience exhaustion. And, you know, part of that was the physical side of the job. But if I'm honest, a lot of it was, you know, the emotional side of the job as well, because I feel so much and I feel others hurt. And it was a bit much at times. And on the other hand, I mean, obviously I've had the most incredible conversations as well, in terms of the most joyful and happy and hilarious conversations. So it does work both ways, but that's where I kind of wished that's where I think, if I was more on the cognitive side as opposed to the effective empathetic side, maybe I'd still be doing what I was doing. Who knows? But anyway, let's move on. Stress and emotional regulation. Now, this is a big one. We all know how stress can turn us into a version of ourselves we are not always fond of, and that's okay. It is what it is, but it can make it hard to keep our emotions in check, which can ripple out to how we interact with others. And learning to manage stress is not just good for us, it's good for how we make others feel too. So as we navigate the complex world of emotions and interactions, it would be remiss of me not to mention some key factors that significantly influence how we understand and connect with others. So let's dive into those important aspects as well. First off, let's talk about the impact of culture on emotional expression and perception. Our cultural backgrounds influence how we show and interpret feelings. What might be considered a warm gesture in one culture could be seen as an intrusive one in another. Understanding these cultural nuances is key to not just avoiding misunderstandings, but also to connecting with people from diverse backgrounds on a deeper level. And this was so interesting because when we were away on our holiday, when we flew into Prague, and we had our Uber driver take us to our hotel, that was actually one thing he said. He said, you know, the people of the Czech Republic, that, you know, he said, we are, you know, we're low key and we are very kind of, we're laid back and we are not about showing up or showing off. And you know, we hold our emotions close. So whilst, you know, when you're talking to someone, it might sound or feel like they're being rude, they just don't show too much of their emotions. And so that was something to think about. And it was so interesting then how that changed our perspective of our interactions. And it was true because, you know, me and my husband, we're such smiley people. Like anytime we go out, and of course the excitement really helps the, you know, that come out in our face, big smiles, big eyeballs. We just look and we're just so happy and excited. And also we like to be inviting and we think a smile is inviting. And so, you know, at cafes, that's how we are. But that's not what we got. It's just straight faced, to the point. And in fact, they didn't really look us in the eye either. So it was just really interesting that cultural diversity and, the differences and being aware of that. Is super important, especially if you really want to connect with others. Now, think about how much we communicate without even saying a word. Our body language, the expressions on our faces, as I just explained, the tone of our voice, these non-verbal cues often speak louder than our words. They're the unspoken elements of our conversations that convey so much of what we feel. Now, that's obviously not going to be, you know, across the board, and that's relevant to what we've just said about cultural differences. But, you know, when you are, when you're not traveling and you are speaking with your peers, that is something to be aware of, your body language and what you're communicating without saying words. Next, in the digital age, oh my goodness. I mean, it is the way we connect now and the way we connect emotionally. I mean, this is transformed because of it. So texts, emails, social media, these tools have changed the way we express and interpret emotions. And the absence of face-to-face cues can make digital communication a wee bit tricky. And it's a reminder to be extra careful and mindful of how our words might be perceived without the context of nonverbal language. I mean, how often have you sent a text to a friend or relative and they've been offended and you were like, nah, I didn't mean it like that. I was just joking, or I was just trying to be sarcastic. It wasn't legitimately word for word. So, you know, those things you've got to be much more careful with, especially if you're communicating with someone who doesn't really know you or know your personality. That can be trickier. So something to think about. And another key element is emotional intelligence. This isn't just a buzzword. It's about being aware of our own emotions and others' emotions. And managing these emotions effectively. It's about self-awareness, self-regulation, and understanding social dynamics. Developing these skills can dramatically improve both our personal and professional relationships. Finally, a quick historical perspective. Throughout history, our understanding of emotions and memory has evolved significantly. From ancient philosophies to modern psychology, the journey of understanding human emotions has been long and fascinating. It gives us context to why we're discussing this today and how far we've come in understanding the human psyche. So, let's dive into practical strategies that can help you with emotional regulation, empathy, communicating, connecting, and leaving a meaningful and long-lasting positive impact on someone else.
Yeah.
So it's crucial to be mindful of the impact we have on others. It's about the little things that we do, the small gestures that show we care, and how these can leave a lasting imprint on someone's heart and mind. First up, practice active listening. That means really focusing on what the other person is saying without planning your next response. It's about being present in the conversation. And I have to say, this is something that I've realized as a society we find really difficult, because we are much more focused on giving our opinion or thinking about our response as opposed to really, really listening to what the person is saying. And it's something that I'm learning to get better as well, because in a conversation, in a podcast, when I'm talking with a guest, I have been in the past, and if you look back or listen to older episodes of mine, you'll hear it. It's quite embarrassing that I was so focused on the next question, on the next question, on the next question, and the active listening I fell kind of short on. Now, to justify myself, I was quite nervous, not the professional yet, but yeah, that's an example of not active listening very well, but how you can learn that skill and improve on that. So, listen actively. Now, emotional intelligence, that's a big one. It's the ability to recognize and manage your own emotions as well as the emotions of others. It's about being aware of how your words and actions affect those around you. One way to boost your emotional intelligence is to pause before you react. Ask yourself, how will my response affect this person? And it's about choosing the response that will uplift rather than diminish. And even if you're having a really tough conversation, I'm assuming that in all conversations, you want a really positive outcome that gets you on the same path or the same page as someone. And it will be harder to get there if what you do is going to, incite fear or defensiveness in that person. So that's when, you know, your actions and your words and the way you say things is really important, so that emotional intelligence really takes effect in this. And finally, let's talk about legacy. When we think about the legacy we want to leave behind, it's not just about what we accomplish or the material things that we have or leave. It's about how we made people feel. Did we make them feel valued, respected, and loved? These emotional legacies are the ones that truly last. They're the stories people will tell about us long after we are gone. So let's strive to leave a legacy of positive feelings, of connections that made a difference, and of moments that mattered. Because in the end, that's what people will remember most, not just what we did or said, but how we made them feel. As you go about your week, I want you to ponder this question. What kind of emotional legacy do you want to leave in the hearts of those you interact with? How do you want to be remembered in the minds and hearts of others? And with that thought, I want to thank you so much for joining me on today's journey. If you enjoyed our time together today, I have a very small favor to ask. I would really love your support if you could take a moment to rate this episode or leave a review if you got the extra 30 seconds. it would mean the world to me. And your feedback not only helps me to improve, but it also helps others find us so that we can grow this community of change makers and incredible people. And if there's someone in your life who you think could benefit from what we've talked about today, why not share this episode with them? Let's spread the wisdom and encouragement far and wide. Thank you again for tuning in. I think you are awesome, and I'm so grateful that you are here with me. Stay awesome, and we'll catch you next time.